Welcome to Reflection Time, the program that looks at world events and everyday issues through the eyes of the scriptures, and as well shares with you some inspirational music. Welcome to Reflection Time for today. In our program, we will be carrying on with the presentation that we started last week. If you were tuned in last week, we were talking about health and the flu pandemic and diseases and so forth that we're facing today. And if you weren't tuned in with us last week, we shared some Bible references with regards to what God's promises are, or what God's desires are for us. We read how God's desire for us is to be in health and to prosper, and how God not only has a desire for us to be like this, but he also provides promises for us, and that he will protect us from diseases, and that he has given us means, and he has given us ample proof in his word that he's able to sustain us. In our studio today, we once again have Mary Osarik with us, so we're going to continue this discussion and look at the how God intends to maintain optimum health in our body. Mary, welcome to the program again today.
Well, thank you, Paul. It's good to be back, and you know, it's a very sobering thing that we're looking at this time of the year, because you know, there's going to be a lot of different foods being served, and what a better way to actually look what the optimal diet will be, so we actually can go through this season and be healthy, you know, and prosperous in a new year. And I just want to share something for, because most of our audience are a large audience, they are young people here at university, and I thought I'd share something from the Bible that would be very appealing to them, of a young man or some of his friends who were very young, who were taken captivity to Babylon. And this story is found in the book of Daniel, first chapter, and I would encourage everyone to, you know, look it up afterwards and read it. It's very, very sobering. But what it brings is that they were being taken captivity by King Nebuchadnezzar and brought back to Babylon. And the reason that he did this was because he was looking for young men who were, you know, not just good looking, but gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, because he took them young. He trained them in his own kind of Babylonian university. And then he actually sent them out to be, you know, ambassadors in these regions that he had conquered, but they were still legion to him. And they still had their, you know, knowledge of their own language and so on, but they were trained in his kingdom and his, you know, ways. But it's interesting, there is a story here that we found about Daniel and his three friends. And they stand out throughout the story in the book of Daniel.
Yeah, they seem to keep surfacing throughout the book of Daniel, don't they?
Yeah, and I think there's a reason for that, because God wants to show them, no matter where we are in our lives, that, you know, as long as we're faithful to him, his promises are sure. And, you know, he will do some mighty things for us as long as we trust him. And it's interesting that they're actually asked, I call it the 10-day test. you know, the Winter Olympics are coming up in February. And it's interesting that people prepare for these Olympics for several years. They want an optimum body so they can perform to utmost when these Olympics come. And I thought it was interesting here that God demonstrates through his servant Daniel here that in 10 days, only in 10 days, where he demonstrated the diet that Daniel and his friends have, is just superior. And let me just share a few things here from Daniel 1. He says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So they already made this decision. They didn't just go to the table and say, well, you know, I'll pick God says there's clean and unclean animals, or I can pick and choose that they seem to be the right. He already purposed in his friends in their mind what was the best and ultimate diet that will keep their mind clean, clear, and to be able to discern what to do right and wrong.
Yeah, and that's got to be a difficult situation to be in, because, you know, if you're taken captive, it would be very difficult to turn to your captors and say, I'd rather not eat the food that you've provided for me. I'd rather eat a more nutritious diet. You know, that takes a certain amount of boldness, but Daniel yet had the faith to be able to do that.
Well, we see this even reaction from the chief eunuch, the ones who are taking care of them, kind of their trainer and mentors. That he said, you know, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed you food and drink. For why should he see your face looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. You know, here he's endangered. But Daniel could have compromised here. He could say, well, you know, this is only one time, and, you know, I'm going to serve God by, you know, being a witness here one way to stay in the palace or the position that he put me. But no, he didn't compromise at all, because he says here, he gives them he doesn't want his chief eunuch to feel that he's in a position here. Actually give him a solution. He says, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. And so it's interesting that he gives them a solution here. Test us. And these are the diets that we're going to stay on, and the other people can stay with their diet, and we'll do a comparison. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. That's a scientific test here.
And what was the result of that?
Well, we see it later down, you know, we see in verse 17 that, and so he consented to them. So this is King says, okay. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. You know, and it says here, thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. And also says, as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Just a little bit further down, it says, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in his realm. So indeed, yeah, we see here that God actually, when we're faithful to him, he acknowledges his promises here. You know, he gave wisdom to Daniel, his friends, and not just giving wisdom and dreams, but actually preparing them for those dreams that he was going to give to King Nebuchadnezzar later on.
Yeah, because that's true. That's one thing that a diet ordained by God will give an individual a clearer mind. And what I find interesting, as you mentioned earlier, is that Daniel was a young man.
Mm-hmm.
His three friends were young men. And being young men, you know, the King Nebuchadnezzar saw in them, you know, a potential. But it's interesting when you look at nowadays with regards to young people. We see, you know, diseases striking young people at a younger and younger age all the time. You know, heart disease is not an older man's disease anymore.
No.
We see it in all aspects of the population. You know, we see it in women, we see it in you know, children really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, diabetes, you know, that seems to be more prevalent. You know, cancers even in young people. And having said that, there's an interesting clip that I'd like to share. It's by Professor Walter Veith. He explains a little bit the health effects in children. Maybe you want to elaborate on that a little bit before we play that, Mario?
Well, as I mentioned last week, this is a series that Professor Veith has done looking at the health issue. And at this clip where we're going to be listening to it is something I just brought it down because it was shown here at Memorial University. And it sells a few minutes, but he actually examines the antibiotics effects on the immune system.
Think about this. You have a little child, and that little child has an ear infection. You go to the doctor prescribes an antibiotic, the ear infection gets better, because the antibiotic is going to kill the bacteria. Does it only kill those bacteria, or does it also knock all the bacteria in your body? Knocks them all. So now while you're on the antibiotic, you have fewer bacteria than normal. Is that right? And now let's say the child drinks a glass of milk or eats an egg. And there's a salmonella in there. And it gets into the body. And here it finds few bacteria to compete with it. So that means he's quite happy to increase in there. And the bacteria that are present are all kind of woozy because they're on antibiotics. But this new guy that came in from the glass of milk or the egg, he doesn't care about the antibiotic. Why not? He's become resistant, so it takes over. So all of a sudden the child gets what? Diarrhea. Now you go to the doctor and you say, you know, the ear is better, but the child's got diarrhea. What's the doctor give him? An antibiotic. And will it react or not? No. Now you see, that's okay if you're an adult. An adult has a big body and a lot of water in this body. And if you have diarrhea and you get sick from this, well, you have a fair amount of reserves in your body. But if you're a little kid, then your reserves are gone very quickly just by reason of size. If you're old and frail and weak, you don't have any resistance either. So who will be knocked most by antibiotic resistance? Little children and old, frail people. They will die like flies. And there's nothing that we will be able to do about it. So if a wave of new infectious diseases comes along, like SARS, for example, or any one of those like are very prevalent today, and we do not have the medication to treat them, and we do not have an immune capacity that's functioning properly, then we're in trouble. So the solution to living in today's world is keep your immune system high. That means no additives in your food, lots of fruits and vegetables in your food, and stay away from the acid-forming foods like the animal products, and you will be better off. The inedible beef stew, well, beef was withdrawn here in the United States and all over the world. We've had mega epidemics in Scotland, in Switzerland, all over the place, killers all around. We're not living in the same society that grandpa and grandma lived in. So what do people say? People say, well, we'll have to give up these meats that are dangerous. We'll switch to the exotics. So they start switching to ostrich meat, which is booming industry. Do you know that these animals are very highly susceptible to Ebola viruses and things like that? When you get those, you're dead. You're dead. And then bacteria that outwitted antibiotics started causing streptococci, started causing rotting flesh on the body and all kinds of problems. Malaria is back with a vengeance. Why? Because the host, and not only the host, but also the vector, have become immune to the medication that is being used in the world today. So you know what our science has done over the last few decades? Science has brilliantly given mankind a suspended sentence. That's what it's done. It's put in medications in the world which has kept all these infections at bay until all the organisms have now basically reached a point where they are resistant to most of what we have in the world today. And we are sitting on the brink of what could become an explosion of epidemics. Because the animals have started to outwit our drugs. And it's not so easy to develop new potent antibiotics. So we're living in a different society to grandpa and grandma.
But very interesting how we see the compound effect of antibiotics. You used the example of children there, Mario, as to how the ill effects of antibiotics and how the what the long-term effect is. Any comment on that before we go any further?
Well, you know, it's interesting that we see this on the news and see, you know, CBC or whatever. Whenever the disease struck in the various countries, we see always that it's the children and the elderly are affected. Even in ours, you know, I just suppose 2 years ago in Toronto with SARS, mm-hmm. It was usually the younger people and the elderly that were affected first. It does not mean that the rest of us are excluded. It just means it takes longer before these viruses affect our body because of the size and so on. Mm-hmm. But it's just a warning signal to all of us.
Yeah. So you know, if God provides these desires and promises for us for good health, we have to look at the Bible and say, well, what has God given us to help build up our immunity naturally? Obviously, there's got to be ways to do that. And the best way that I can describe it is through the acronym NEWSTART, mm-hmm. You know, NEWSTART. It stands for nutrition, exercise, water, sunshine, temperance, air, rest, and finally, trust in God. And obviously, a big thing with regards to ensuring health is nutrition. I've heard it said before that, and it's very true, that, you know, for us to have good health, we have to have good blood and good circulation. I mean, that's critical because, you know, our blood system is our, you know, it's often referred to as the red river of life that, you know, flows within us. And nutrition is one way that that we maintain a healthy circulatory system. But there's some other things with regards to nutrition that are important. There's been some scientific work done in a book that was written by entitled Proof Positive by Dr. Neil Nedley. And he quotes some scientific work that shows that a diet that is based on animal proteins actually lowers our killer white cells and actually lowers the helper white cells in our blood system. Within our blood system, we have, you know, red blood cells and white blood cells. Mm-hmm. The white blood cells are used, you know, as really our immune system. You know, the different white cells are programmed to do, you know, different aspects with regards to, you know, locating, you know, foreign bacteria or foreign cells and, you know, seeking them out and getting rid of them from the body. So maintaining a good white blood cell system is integral to good health. But it is interesting how he points out that the animal protein has more of a negative effect than a vegetable protein in maintaining immunity. And one big thing too that affects our immunity through nutrition is refined sugar. It's amazing what, you know, white sugar does to our immune system. Again, he quotes a study that was done in Southern California. Mm-hmm. In which, you know, people were fed certain amounts of sugar. And it's amazing how much sugar that we consume. An average person, they say, will consume, you know, 2 kilogram bags of sugar every year.
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot. And, so, you know, a lot of these are hidden sugars that we don't even think about.
Oh, for sure.
Where they are, you know.
Yeah, yeah. If we sat down with 33 bags of sugar, we'd say, there's no way, impossible to eat all that. But yet, when we look at, you know, the food that we drink, you know, the candies that kids eat, you know, ice creams and so forth, you know, stuff that's really loaded with sugar. But they determined in this study in Southern California that if a person were to consume no sugar at all, that a white blood cell was able to destroy 14 bacteria over mm-hmm. a certain time period. Over a same time period, if the person consumed 6 teaspoons of sugar, the number of bacteria that was destroyed was down to 10. Mm-hmm. If a person were to eat 24 teaspoons of sugar, which, you know, people will say, what is 24 teaspoons of sugar? Well, if you drink a can of soda with a chocolate bar, well, you've surpassed 24 teaspoons of sugar. If you eat a banana split, you've surpassed 24 teaspoons of sugar. But if you eat 24 teaspoons of sugar, that same bacteria that was in a healthy state able to destroy 14 bacteria could only destroy 1 bacteria.
Wow.
So it's amazing how white sugar deteriorates our immune system by really disabling the white blood cells.
Hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot that can be said with regards to how nutrition will either help or hinder our health and our immune system. Did you have anything to add to that one, Mero, or not?
No, I was just thinking, you know, in the old tales that they used to say, you know, give sugar and water, mix it up, and be good for your bones. And I thought, how silly, really. We laugh at it, but that's what we're doing today. You know, we laugh at some of those medication way back where people, you really call it medicine, mix water and sugar, and said this would be healthy for you, whether it's bone because it was white, mm-hmm. refined sugar, mm-hmm. Or whether, you know, something else. But we see how detrimental this is. And simple thing as removing it from your diet will do a tremendous thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's why it's partially the diet, diabetes is up too, mm-hmm. because of the hidden sugar. You know, mm-hmm. it's like I was thinking of tomato ketchup. Mm-hmm. I mean, people put everything on. Yeah. And there's a lot of sugar in that, actually.
Yeah. And, you know, you take somebody, especially who suffers from diabetes with, you know, high blood sugar, mm-hmm. that can really have a detrimental effect on the immune system. Because, yeah. you know that amount of sugar in the blood can, you know, really hamper the response or the effectiveness of, you know, the white blood cells. Another way that people can build up their immunity is through exercise. Again, going back to the idea that, you know, good health requires good blood and good circulation. Exercise is one way to enhance that. Something else that is proven to exercise will alleviate is depression. Mm-hmm. And people who do suffer from depression, it's known that depression will affect, you know, the immune system as well, because it really depresses the whole body. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just a, you know, mentally, but, you know, the whole workings of the body are affected, and depression will lower a person's natural immune response. Mm-hmm. So these are just some of the ways now that, you know, sure, there's ways in the medical profession that will maybe complement, or if, you know, if a person is diseased far enough that they need, you know, certain medications, you know, they can avail of them. But, you know, it's best for us to prevent as opposed to having to respond. You know, like they say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Yes. You know, it's a very true, very true saying.
Indeed.
You know, another way that, you know, we can build up our immune response is through, rest. I mean, rest is very important. You know, sometimes I hear of rest as, referred to as vitamin R.
Vitamin R.
You know, it's not something that we can take, you know, through ingestion or something that we can take orally. Mm-hmm. But yet, you know, rest is very important to us. And people will say, well, you know, I get lots of sleep, or I get, you know, maybe a few hours of sleep, but it's quality sleep. Well, really, you know, we should really be sleeping 8 hours a night. You know, mm-hmm. it's difficult, you know. Rest is not easy for people, say, who are shift workers. Mm-hmm. You know, especially if they're shift workers during night hours. Yeah. You don't. Your body, you know, wants to, you know, shut down that time of day, and your body needs rest to rebuild itself, mm-hmm. and to you know, recharge itself for the next day. And one thing that happens as we rest is our body will produce melatonin. Mm-hmm. You know, our melatonin rates are very high when we're young, and they decrease through age, and they're, you know, quite low in, you know, in senior people. But if without the proper production of melatonin, our body is unable to it will affect, have an adverse effect on our immune system. And melatonin is produced when we sleep, and sleep in a dark environment. Oh, it's interesting. If we're to sleep in a light environment, the melatonin production is not the same as if we sleep in a dark environment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was interesting too. I was just talking to a good friend of ours. Just had a baby girl, and she's 7 months old. And I observe her. You know, it's good to look at little babies, because they have the rhythm that would be perfect for us. They have the hours they need. You know, 7, 8, 10 hours. We look at 7, 8 as the optimum. The scientists tell us. The Bible tells us that we need a day of rest. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that when I looked at this baby girl, even her breathing, is the diaphragm breathing, is the proper way to breathe. And mm-hmm. we lose that, would seem to, with age, you know. We forget that natural thing that God instilled in us that mm-hmm. we need to
have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's actually another vitamin R that's referred to, and that's a 1 day of rest every week. Yes. You know, because it's interesting, God instituted that day of rest, you know, before sin even entered into the world. So mm-hmm. God knew that there would be 1 day of rest required to, you know, to set aside our daily labors and to commune with Him. Mm-hmm. Because in that, you know, He saw a benefit for us. And, you know, as a loving Creator, He provided that for us. So if He foresaw that as a requirement before sin even came into the world, how much more do we need that time, that day of rest, you know, for us now?
Oh, indeed. Today's society, a very stressful society. And so as we have shown here previously in the program, that, you know, the Sabbath day was set aside not just for, you know, one particular group of people, but that was set at the beginning of creation for all mankind. Mm-hmm. And anything that God gives us, Paul, is a benefit to us. He doesn't withhold. He only withholds us bad for us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we should say praise the Lord, because the ones that He gives us is all benefit for us.
And I think the item that's paramount with regards to, you know, maintaining good health and good immunity mm-hmm. is trust in God.
Well, ultimately it comes down to that, yes.
Yeah, because, you know, we can put our own efforts into it, but really without Him watching over us, because we know, as we studied last week, God's desire for us is to be, you know, in health. He promises health if we abide in Him. And I believe, Mary, maybe you have a verse there you could share with us with regards to a promise about how trust in Him will build up our health.
Yes, this is taken from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 22. And it says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh." I thought that's a wonderful promise that He gives us in Proverbs here in chapter 4, verses 20 to 22.
Interesting how God says, you know, His words will give us flesh. His words are powerful mm-hmm. because, you know, He speaks and things stand fast, you know. Things are created through His word. You know, our word, you know, doesn't have that power at all, but, you know, God's does. And there's people listening and saying, boy, that's foolishness. That's utter foolishness. That makes no, you know, human sense at all. But it's interesting how Paul says in Corinthians, he says, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men."
Yes.
You know, God realized that people would look at His word and they would look at what He had to say, and they say that's complete foolishness. Because to people that don't have faith, it is foolishness. Mm-hmm. It requires faith, not a blind faith,
no,
but a living faith. One other comment that Paul made with regards to that, he says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." So really, man's wisdom might think, well, that, you know, this is the ideal situation, but God says, well, hold on. Your thoughts are often foolishness, you know. Mm-hmm. You have to look to me and trust in me. And that's what God is saying in His word here. I've given you many facets to improve your health, to ensure immunity. And you can either choose to follow them or choose not to follow them. And by choosing not to follow them, we will inevitably suffer the consequences of not following them. And that brings to a close our first half hour of Reflection Time. We hope you've enjoyed the presentation. If you have any comments or questions, you can reach us at radioreflection@yahoo.ca. That's radioreflection@yahoo.ca. Remember this week to take time to reflect on God's Word, and whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.